In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so we turn our gaze toward Bethlehem. God is man to redeem man. The Almighty comes as a child, weak and helpless. The All-Knowing takes on the sins of the entire world onto his tiny infant shoulders. He comes to his own, but his own will not receive him. The only gifts they give to him are Herod's failed sword and Pilate's cross. Satan's rebellion had reached its climax as they pinned the Son of God to a tree. By a tree, Satan had overcome man, and now by a tree, Satan himself would be overcome. For the finite contains the infinite. The eternal God is nourished and sustained by his mother's milk. It's too much for us feeble-minded creatures to contemplate. It's too much. Christmas is a staggering event. A virgin, angels, shepherds, a child. God is man, man is God. Who of us is worthy to contemplate such mysteries, much less to receive them? So how dare we rush into this without much thought? This is God wrapped in flesh and blood, the very source of our hope and our salvation. So the church pauses. For 4 weeks, known as Advent, the church makes a slow way down to prepare. Our sinful flesh wants the decorations now, the songs now, the joy now, the celebration now, the nostalgia and traditions now. It doesn't want to wait, but the church makes us wait. First Palm Sunday. First John the Baptist. Before we hear the angels in Bethlehem, we first must know the purpose of his coming. Before we celebrate the Holy Incarnation, the cross is held before our eyes. Before we run with shepherds, we process with the crowds on Palm Sunday. Before we delight to see him in his mother's arm, we see him carried by a donkey. Before he is swaddled by Mary, we see him swaddled by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Before we are amazed with shepherds, we are stirred up by the children's hosannas. This is why we celebrate Christmas. God has come to die for us. His blood will set us free. Christmas is not about a cute baby born in a unique setting. It's about God being rejected and yet still coming because he loves. He has no place on which to lay his head until he lays it in a grave. Christmas is not the end of anything, but rather it is the beginning of our salvation. So this Advent, we are preparing for the coming of God's anointed one. St. John the Baptist gives us direction. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from the gluttony the world has to offer this month and feast on the word of God. Turn away from materialism and help those who are in need. Turn away from coveting seemingly everything under the sun and find contentment with what God has already given you. Let the baptizer's voice ring in your ears. Repent. Repentance is not simply sorrow over sin. Or repentance is sorrow over sin, but it is not despair. True repentance is filled with hope in the Lord's salvation. So John the Baptist doesn't stand on the shores pointing a finger to scold you for what you have done. Rather, he points and declares, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." True repentance gazes outward at that Lamb of God riding toward a painful cross. And so the repentant are patient, even as the world already is celebrating impatiently what is not yet here. They can't wait. But the repentant are patient. They wait because they recognize that December 25th is not the goal. It's not the end of anything, but the empty tomb is the end. His coming on the last day is the end. The world may rejoice at his birth. Work stops, family gathers, meals are prepared, songs are sung. But they completely ignore his death because they do not have the mind of God. They simply want a party. But you have been given the mind and the heart of God. And so you rejoice at his birth precisely because he has come to die. He was carried to Bethlehem's manger so that he might be carried to Jerusalem's cross. He was born in the town of David, but salvation comes in the city of David. There it is finished. For there in that city of David, God promised to write his name as an everlasting testimony to the nations. And so Pilate wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He wears your flesh and blood to take on your curse and remove your sin. It is finished. He is born. He lived. He died. He rose. Who of us is worthy to contemplate such mysteries? What wondrous love! How great is this gift that God would give to us unworthy sinners! The Son comes to our filth. The Son is born holy, so that we who are born in sin might be reborn through water and the Spirit. What grace, what love, what divine blessings are poured out on us. He didn't have to, but love drove him. He prepared a magnificent banquet, for he desires to eat with sinners. He desires to pour out his lavish love on you who are sinful from birth. He gives you hope. Not simply hope for a magical December, which never pans out, by the way. Not hope for a better 2020. But he gives you a hope that permeates and transcends even into eternity. What love is this, that he would come down into our mess to be arrested, stripped, beaten, lifted up on a tree, mocked and insulted, carrying the sins of the world? What love is this? It is precisely the love that the angel declared to the shepherd when he said, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. The baby you will go and see will die." And the angels burst forth into song, and the shepherds run, and we marvel, for the promised son of Abraham has been born, and no ram will take his place. For through him all nations on earth will be blessed. So I say again, this Advent we are preparing for our Lord's arrival. We are not waiting for Christmas. That has already happened 2,000 years ago. And neither are we waiting to reenact a historical event. We are waiting for the arrival of our God as he comes to us today in consecrated bread and wine. Why else would we join to sing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest"? Is it not precisely because he comes to us today in blessed bread and wine? Recognize the time of God's visitation to you. Meet him with repentant hearts, for he desires to give you the blessings of Christmas, of Good Friday, and of Easter, all wrapped up in bread and wine. This mystery is set before the eyes of our faith week after week. The altar replaces the manger and the cross. Your lips and your heart replace Mary's arms. For the flesh and blood God comes to be your Savior today on December 1st, 2019. He comes to rescue you from the troubles of this past week. He comes to rescue you from your sins of the past month. He comes to rescue you from all that distraught you this past year. He comes to tie your future to his victory. This Advent, let us live like ones who are waiting. Let us teach our bodies, through fasting, to live by the word of God and not by our bellies. This month, the world ratchets up its intake of food. So let us increase our intake of the word of God. let us pray more. Let us meditate on his word more. Let us eat his holy supper more to train ourselves that Christ is our everything. Or to say it simply, let us live as we believe. Yes, Christmas will be celebrated in 4 weeks' time, but do not miss his coming to you today. For today he comes to give you the blessings that he has won by his death and resurrection. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.